for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, June 28, 1979. Summer camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. This tape is with Chuck Flynn, teaching and having a release service on the gifts of the Spirit.
You want to keep it, brother, give it away to something for another every day. Don't be looking for money, for the good that you do, do unto the Lord and it'll come back to you. If you want to keep it, brother, give it away to something for another every day. Don't be looking for money. The good that you do, just do unto the Lord and it'll come back to you. If you want to keep it, brother, give it away. Do something for another every day. Don't be looking for money. For the good that you do, do unto the Lord and it'll come back to you. If you want to keep it, brother, give it away. Do something for another every day. Don't be looking for money. For the good that you do, do unto the Lord, and it'll come back to you. Amen.
Well, we are learning that. I never heard it before. So we'll put it on the tape over here, and everybody can learn it everywhere. Praise the Lord. Brother Chuck, we'll just turn the service to you, and let you bring us the word of the Lord and ministry and work. Put you to work here. There was a little green book laying on one of the chairs here that was a health juice book. Whoever has it, will you turn it into the table, please?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it seems afternoon sessions are very enthusiastic. Hallelujah. We would like to say that in a presentation of releasing that which the Lord Jesus has already moved upon our hearts as a matter of teaching and receiving what we have and then flowing with it and allowing the Spirit of the Lord to comfortably move through us. It's a beautiful area of Scripture in divine truth. But I'd like to begin with Romans 8:26 and some areas of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I like to call these, of course, our weapons, the weapons of our warfare. They fall into that category. And also, they are the personality or the person of Jesus. So Romans 8:26 tells us that functioning of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that some try to weaken that position, but I believe this is exactly what the Scripture is saying. Because you see, if you go along here and you flow with Paul the Apostle and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, this is their whole framework of teaching, that it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Here is a tongue talker teaching tongue talkers how to talk in tongues. And that's the phrases here, that the whole atmosphere of 1 Corinthians 12. And somebody walks into that dimension and says that's not what it means, because you really don't have to have tongues. You really don't have to do this. And not everybody receives tongues. And it's unreasonable, the positions that are given, because it's not from the framework. It's like you're going into a family and under a sort of a disciplinary action, and everybody's got their opinion, and it's a family flare-up, and there's some things to be straightened out. And then you as a stranger goes in and say, well, now I think, no, it's, you really don't mean that. You'd be out on your ear. Because see, you're out from a dimension or the environment that that which is given. And so, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 in just a moment. But in Romans 8:26, likewise, I like that. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So here we're talking about, in the 8th chapter, the height of the believer. And it goes on to say, verse 17, and if children then heirs, heirs of God, join heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Some people think, well, now that means the glory in the heavenlies, but it means the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so that's the clue here, that's the key, now the glory that shall be revealed. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You can underline that verse 19. Now, this is a true statement. Now, many have taken this statement and projected that their group is that particular group and has definitely since a more of a segmented revelation, but it is not so. The scripture says that there is a waiting in the earth for this tremendous revelation that shall be revealed in us, to be compared with the glory. Now this glory that shall be revealed in us is the bringing forth of the heirs. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, underlined, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So this particular groaning of the whole creation, when God spoke it forth, and Jesus said that it was at the foundation of the world that he felt this piercing, he had created the heaven and earth, but then in the creation of the earth, the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. And then Jesus said, when a person's born again, there is that angelic host that rejoiceth. Not only when a person's born again, it means when every creative act of God happens within the earth, within the life of a human being, they're set free by being born again. They're set free in the areas of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and healing. In every phase of creativity and movings of the Holy Spirit in your life, there is a rejoicing and a greater revelation of you being a joint heir with Christ. And so this is the goodies, let's say, of the spiritual walk, the being set free, the provisions of God. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Every dimension of God's benefits then is intent in the bringing forth of the heirship and the glory that we have in Jesus. The ultimate intent to release. Now, when the body is released simultaneously, then the creation knows that they too are set free. So this is a dual operation. And then we have this, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Put down James 5:7, for in the term, then do we with patience wait for it. Now that's around verse 25. Now the book of James 5:7, but, or be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And so forth. Now, this area, this tremendous principle of patience, in your patience, ye shall possess your souls. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering or patience. It is the virtue of the Lord Jesus. And that virtue unto the coming of the Lord means keep cool. The word be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be tempered. Hold your temper. Spirit of the Lord within you, the revelation of His glory, gives you a temperament of the Lord. That is the glory that excelleth. When Paul taught it in 2 Corinthians 3, he said the glory that was upon Moses' face under the tremendous nakedness and idolatry of the people, when he came forth from the presence of God, the glory shot forth from Moses' face. The Septuagint reads that Moses was not aware that his face was horned. So the term here, the glory of the Lord, is in cooperation in the Greek also with the Hebrew, the same emphasis. And the word for glory that was upon Moses' face was Quran, Q-U-R-A-N. And Quran is the glory that is expressive, and it was literal, it was a definite sign of God's anointing upon Moses. And it was the bolts, or as the Septuagint reads, the horn. Quran is the interchangeable word with horn, which is not a negative term, but it means lightning bolts, rays of glory that went from Moses. It was not an aura, some type of halo. It was visible lightning bolts of God's presence. And when Moses came out of the mount, the lightning bolts of God's presence went forth from him. No wonder those guys put a veil on. He's upsetting our boat. Tremendous glory. Here he comes, the Quran of God. He walks down and out from the presence, and down from the mountain, he and Joshua, and Moses is the visible presence. And Paul in the New Testament says, the Holy Ghost that we have excels the glory that was upon Moses. Hallelujah. The authority of the Word and the impact of it is more than just saying, all right, And follow me now. Do what I do. Da, 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 da. Okay, now you got it. We must release the full impact. And in our day, you're going to see the glory return in its fullness. Not da, da, da. In the movie, I didn't see this particular thing, but Marjo, he taught his followers, just tell them, da, 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 and you've got it. So they won't know we're tricking them. And by our depreciation and not speaking forth and realizing what the Word is saying and bringing ourselves up, we don't want to be like the manifested group. Well, bless your bony heart. By isolating and allowing a group here and a group there to send a negative approach, it's not that we're vindicating anybody, but let's stay in the Word, bless God. We have been cautioned out of our head. The Pentecostal denomination, ministers, hungry for God, and piled up with problems, go to a minister's meeting, and all we hear is caution. Oh, now, I was in Portland, and I remember superintendent said, that latter rain movements, you know, the personal prophecy. And a man goes through the line. We were told this many times. A man goes through the line and God sent to China. And then his wife follows him. God sent to India. That's right. Everybody laughs, you know. And the superintendent tells us, the husband looks, hey, brother, we're husband and wife. How can one be called? It was, thou art called to China and thou art called to India. How can we be called to do two different places? And, the Holy Ghost meant Indochina. Indochina. And everybody laugh and with our spiritual tail between our legs and go back very cautiously and wouldn't allow that tremendous anointing that was our inheritance to flow. We've been laughed out of it very cunningly. Maybe not so. I don't know the intent of the hearts. But I want you to know, when it came time for camp meeting speakers, usually it was those that flowed with the program, not the ones that were really moving in spiritual dynamics. Amen. Usually they had a little oddball doctrine of something or other, or they were easily controlled. Hallelujah. So this is the areas now that here Paul is saying, now Moses came forth with a tremendous Quran, the lightning bolts of heaven, similar to what God told Isaiah. Isaiah said, boy, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in an unclean people. I'm unclean. And the lightning bolts of the angel of God shot forth, hallelujah. And the angels are the anointings and the ministries of fire. And around you has come a circle or a wall of fire. And the fiery bolts of God's anointing. And the angel came and touched Isaiah's lips with the coal off of the altar. And purified. And he spoke the pure word. And I'm believing in our day that there'll be pure words of prophecy, pure words of interpretation, pure words of dynamic anointing of the ministry and the glory of God. When they veil Moses' face, they veil their heart and they veil the word. Michelangelo in his making of the tremendous sculpture of Moses, 15, 16 feet high, about 15 feet high, I've seen the original Moses, a magnificent work of art, to say the least. Even Michelangelo was really carried away. When he finished it, he looked at it, and he took his mallet, and he said, why don't you speak? And he hit the knee of Moses, and there's a big gash there. And I looked at that, and all of a sudden, I went up to the forehead, and I saw these two horns up there. Yuck. Boy, those Catholics in 1536, they were really disrespectful. I thought in my heart, boy, that's disrespectful. Disrespectful to put horns on Moses. But see, I wasn't aware of the Hebrew word for glory. See, that's the best way Michelangelo had of saying the glory of God is dwelling in men, can dwell in men. The word Quran, of course, is beam or lightning bolt. Now, the Amplified Version clears up. The King James Version doesn't bring this out, but the Amplified does. For the Son of Righteousness in Malachi, when he arises with healing in his glory being. And that means healing goes forth. The anointing of God's people will be so strong that you and I will be physically, for a period of this great harvest, physically impossible to reach everyone, but the bolts of God will send free. Hallelujah. It's already begun. Not only in one of my favorite scriptures, the 2 Corinthians 3:18, with open face we behold the glory of the Lord. That means with unveiled face. So what Paul taught in the New Testament was, now we're coming into the glory and the movings of the Holy Spirit, and through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, your face is going to be unveiled from former teaching. And all types of ritualism. And there is a tremendous drive in the charismatic move to let people just talk in tongues, let them keep their pipes, let them keep their little sips of alcohol, but yet let them have their charismatic meeting, but keep them under the thumb of the organized church or denomination. Oh, we don't want you to come out from your church. Well, I want them to come out. You understand what I mean? Now, if God leads them with, to stay with that body of people to minister to them, fine. But as far as spiritually being set free, come out from among them, said I. And if God wants you to stay and minister, but who are you going to support then? You're going to support the negativism, that which gives forth a definite proclamation of everything that you disagree with after you're filled with the Spirit. And those that will ridicule and put down the anointings of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says to pay tithes and offerings to the storehouse. The storehouse means more than a location. Now, some pastors might disagree, but the Hebrew is very plain there. It means an armory where you are equipped with weapons to fight against the power of the devil. And you're to support where the anointing is, not some place that don't have enough power to blow you out of a paper sack. The word storehouse means a place where ammunition is kept. It is the armory of God and the anointings of God. And somebody can be seen. I will be blessed in the anointing upon them. I will support it in some measure. And wherever the anointing is, support it. But of course, if there is a local place and where the family is being blessed and everything, of course there's divisions, tithes and offerings. But the primary thing is that when you support, expect the weapons. Just expect it. And praise God, God will give you in your hand a consecration. He'll fill your hand with the sword of the Lord. As Moses did the tribe of Levi, you will be filled with the sword of the Lord. Praise God. The three areas of the face, the veilers were already at work. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world." Of course, I'm not able to or qualified to tie his shoelaces, his shoes. He said, "I baptize you with water, but there's one that cometh after me, who shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And so when John the Baptist said, "I'm going to baptize you with water under repentance, and he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purging his floor," then Acts 19, the days and the years go by, and here comes Paul the Apostle that God has raised up. In Acts 19, he sees a dozen men at Ephesus, and he said, "Now there's something different about you, brethren. You claim to be saved," but he said, "Hey, listen, have you received since you believed?" There's an outward recognition here of a lack. Have you guys received since you believed? Received what? The Holy Ghost. We have never even heard if there be any Holy Ghost. Well, then what were you baptized with? It was even a surprise to Paul. "We were baptized with John's baptism of repentance." Now what happened? Somebody told them how John baptized in water so that they could find repentance and forgiveness of sins, and that was it. Do we have any of those around today? They're called the veilers of the word. They did not continue to say what John said about Jesus, that he's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. And the veilers were already at work, so Paul laid hands on them. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they prophesied. They didn't have to wait 10 years down the road to prophesy. They received the anointing of God and began to prophesy, speak in a heavenly language, and praise God, the glory of God was upon. That's why the New Testament says we have the glory that excelleth. Our faces are not veiled. Hallelujah. We're not going to let anybody veil our faces. Let's get into the Word of God and receive, yea, the anointing of God and the rivers and the teachings that God brings our way. Hallelujah. Let the nobility of the saints come forth. And these were more noble. because they sought the Scripture to see if these things be so. Amen. The nobility of the saints. Hallelujah. The heart was even veiled. The Holy Ghost moves upon the heart. In the reading of the Word, the heart is being released in our day. There is the area of the heart for the inner being of man. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The three dimensions of the gifts and the anointings of the Holy Spirit. The heart, the intellect, the mind, the anointings of God upon the mentality of an individual. You'll love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Try to put a veil over the heart. Whatsoever things are pure and true, whatsoever things of good report, think on these things. So that when men's minds will fail them in the under pressures of the end time, your mind will be sound, hallelujah, and filled with love and releasing the power of God. That's why Paul said in the previous verse in Timothy, he said, stir up the gift within you. That means kindle the coals of fire. Kindle the coals of fire. How do you stir up the gift? Which gift was it? The word gift there means, it's a plural term, like they have an orange with many sections in it. The gift or the fruit of the Spirit is like an orange. You have the fruit of the Spirit, not just tongues, but you have the whole thing, and you have a particle as you pull off that little sliver of the orange. Well, then there's that, those divisions of the gifts and the person of our Lord, but the whole fruit is together. You stir up the whole thing, and you speak in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith. So I would think that to stir up the fire of God within you, so that each gift, in the plural sense, will be released when the need arises. What is the best gift? The best gift is to meet the need of the hour. You can be sick and I'll stand over you and prophesy all day, and you'd say, would you hush and pray for me? Now, there are other dimensions of needs in people's lives, and so let's not get hung up with just any particular phase. There's dimensions of importance. And we must know, it's just like the fellow that always, well, my back hurts, or well, back usually, that's true, but, well, I've just got certain things wrong with me, and my eyes are getting weak or something. Okay, sit down, we'll stretch your legs. Well, now maybe that's not the real cue then. There are other areas of emphasis that God wants a balance, and that's why He's got these gifts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your intellect. Those gifts are in wisdom. That's a mental gift. The gifts of word of knowledge. Discerning of spirits. Then, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Your soul is the emotional gift. That which is on the emotions. That cools and brings an emotional triumph. That's why we raise our hands when we praise God. That's why we clap our hands. That's why we fall in the power. We praise God with the dance. We rejoice emotionally because there is an emotional strain in the earth. And if we serve the Lord, hallelujah, love Him in the realm of the emotions, we're set free when the emotional strains come. Men's hearts will fail them for fear, but the child of God will be manifesting the power of the airship that we have in Jesus. You're storing up. See, praise God. Hallelujah. Emotionally loving and worshiping and blessing. Then when the strain comes and the emotions of men who have been taught to just be very reserved. They're not ready. And the gifts of the Spirit, of course, emotionally bring forth the speaking of heavenly languages, the interpretation, the prophetic word. And then with all your might, that means the adrenaline of the body, with all that which the body is fully capable in, not just its normal function, but the adrenaline, when that's loose within the person, they have more strength than they normally have. a grandmother that saw her grandbaby underneath the car, went over, the adrenaline was let loose in her physical body. She reached down to the bumper, lifted the car up, and with the other hand pulled the grandbaby out from under it. Many other super events of strength have happened in normal events of life. But when there's emergencies or crises that come, there is an adrenaline in the body. So it is with the Holy Ghost. We have an anointing of the Spirit to love God with all of our might, to go into the areas of the healing, of the miracles, and those things will bring faith and great happenings in the name of Jesus. And those things will be manifested. And this is why the glory of God is expressed as it is in connection now with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The glory that excelleth. Excelleth what? The lightning bolts of God's presence from Moses' body. That glory is in the body of believers now, and it's going to come to its full fruition, its full fruit, its full potential within the life of the believer. Hallelujah. Therefore, when that anointing of God brings forth and goes forth from you and I, praise God. Now, the thing that releases it and the thing that limited it was when they put a veil over Moses' face and the word was veiled and their hearts were veiled. So the thing that's going to release it is the process in reverse, the glory's returning to the word. Hallelujah. Margaret, I heard, was a young lady in Africa, and I think this happened when she was 18 and 19 years of age, and she would get up after, in a great stadium of hundreds of thousands of people, at least over 100,000 is what I heard, and there was more probably. Then one of the brethren got up and read the Word of God, how people would be set free and be healed, and as the Scripture was read, then he would sit down, and this young teenage girl would get up there, raise her hands, and talk in tongues for 20 to 30 minutes. She didn't understand it, but she spoke in the Spirit. And while she was speaking, the glory of the Lord began to shoot forth. Some were set free, some were delivered, some were healed. And the crutches and all of the casts and everything that was visible, that the people could discard, filled the stadium because of the glory. Hallelujah. And the speaking forth in the heavenly language. See, the world, as they use processes of sexually or immorally shocking our generation on down, they're using everything to shock. This is the shocker age. So it is with the Holy Ghost, bless God, and we are going to be a big shock. Hallelujah. And it's no time, as Brother Lee says, no time for the lambs. We praise God for the lambs. We thank God. We're led, hallelujah, in Him. But praise God, this army is going to be made up of the lions. Ah! Jesus said, we won't offend them for a while, but there will be a day that those, the kingdom of God, will suffer violence, and the violent take it by what? Storm! Oh, I got scared here the other afternoon. The lightning crashed down within about 50 feet. It seemed like it was over my head. And like you'd shoot off a shotgun a foot from my ear. I was out there enjoying in the rain, you know, and everything. All of a sudden, bam! Boy, the storm was on it. And hail a little bit, and this a little bit, and another one came. And I went through about three of those and felt led to go inside. Amen. We're not going to just say, be signposts and say, oh, the Lord is coming now and do good and repent. No, no longer are we going to be signposts. We're going to bring a storm, hallelujah. And you think the hornets had a work to do. You wait till the body is set free. We're going to be hornets in this world. God did not compel them to go. He's going to make them willing to go by the hornets of God. Hallelujah. That old song, God did not compel him to go, I know. He does not compel us to go. He does not compel us to go against our will. He just makes us willing to go. Hallelujah. That's what's going to move the manifesting power of God by the Holy Ghost within God's people. He's dealing with us right now. He's got us in the hall of his hand. He's got us in the pouch over the heart of the high priest. We're feeling the heartbeat of Jesus. Urim and Thummim is being prepared for this hour among the body of Christ. We will give illumination and we will give direction. And the Holy Ghost moving upon us, He'll guide us into all truth and show us things to come. So the heart of man is being written on right now. A fresh chapter of anointing. Praise God. Now, the face is unveiled by former teaching and ritualism. The heart is unveiled by the writings of God and the Holy Ghost. Now the Word is being unveiled. I want you to know that my opinion is that the barbed wire sermons of 3 points and you're through and throw in an illustration has had its day. I often hear this tremendous intellectual phrase, now in terms of this and in terms of that. Now my next point is so forth. And my next point is so forth. And my last point, and we've been pointed to death. Now I feel, of course, there are very good messages. It's not that it has been wrong, it's just that we're in a new day. But I believe that if we hold on to that which is sinking, it will be a weight to us. But I feel that there will be a energy of delivery in the Word. When the Word is read, there will be an energizing yearning in the body by the Spirit, and the minister will be caught up in it, and there will be praise preaching to where every point used to be a point, now is an anointed phrase to be spoken creatively and to be prevailed by the body and loosed in Jesus' name while the preaching, so-called, while the preaching's going on, every phrase will be prayed through, and then after it's explained by the Word and put in a few points of interest and persuasive anointing, the Word of God will pow, 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 and the body will be set free, the point that's expressed through the Word, and then we'll praise God and release it to our whole community, to our whole nation, to the world. Instead of just intellectual principles stated, we will have meetings that sermons will turn into prospective imagery to bring us unto Jesus. You get that? Praise God. There will be authority by the Word, and as the Word is spoken, the Spirit of God will quicken hearts, and people will stand up and be saved and be healed and set free by the power. The emphasis will not be upon the presenter or the personality, but it'll be on the authority of God's Word. And the glory is returning to the Word. I don't want to belabor it, but it's a good point. Amen. I think we should do exactly what's being spoken. Let's liberate the glory of the Word. Let's liberate it. Father, we thank you. We speak creativity. We speak the anointing of God. We praise you, Father.
But the glory will return to the Word, and the anointing of our God is set free. Handala kabasandala mahanda. We release all types of depression, all types of hermeneutical pressure that has bound the Spirit in the name of Jesus.
And I know my hermeneutical brothers will really hate to lose their superlapsarianism. But the Spirit of God is going to raise up the ministry, whatever it takes, but the congregations will be loosed. They'll be loosed to release this. Hallelujah. In other words, the deliverer will, by that I mean the deliverer of the Word, will walk in the Word. Preaching is very taxing. You have to continually study, and in that pressure, other things, the mechanics of situations and the responsibilities of administrator, financier, public relations are frustrating and tiresome, and they've overtaxed our ministry. As one pastor put it, all week I've did what any of you guys could do, but now, what nobody else can do but me, deliver a sermon for this congregation. I did everything you could have done this week, and now the only thing that only I can do, I'm limited in it. Amen. And praise God, the glory will return to the Word and refresh the ministries at a warning refreshing. Hallelujah. Wherever I go, this brethren are just able to carry on their own program. They can't even be aware of, or even though they'd like to. In most cases, they don't mind listening to somebody else or hearing another thought from the Word or what God is saying to other groups or other locations. But they're so impressed and so, well, pressed would be the word, with their own situations and localities. But God has loosed a local anointing and an international anointing. And I loose that upon all ministries today that are hungry to see the Word go forth. Amen. Hallelujah. So therefore, glory of God is released, the manifesting and the creation groaneth, and we'll praise God for the release of the anointings of the body. Now what releases this heirship upon the people? Upon the sons. What releases that? It's the release of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So now we're at our point. Number 3. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Please circle as we ought. But the Spirit itself beareth with maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The word groanings is stenagmos, S-T-E-N-A-G-M-O-N, or M-O-S, pardon me. The stenagmos of the Spirit is that Holy Ghost move of God within you that travails in relationship to creation to set you free in the gifts and the abilities of God, and therefore the whole body is saturated, and the desire of the Lord is upon you by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, with desire, I have desired thee to pass over with you. When he went down into the water to be baptized of John in Luke 3:23, the Bible says that he was praying. And the word praying is harpazo. Harpazo is that Greek term that doesn't mean petitioning as we think praying is. It means he was following the scripture, allowing John to baptize him, knowing of his death, he would be lowered into the water, brought back up again, and therefore he was desiring onward. Harpazo means desiring onward. When Jesus was praying, he was desiring onward the Father's will.
In Luke 11:1, the same word is used. When the disciples came early in the morning, Jesus was already up, and he was harpazoing. He was desiring. And they said, Lord, see, they knew all the facets of the Pharisees and all types of religious praying. But they said, Lord, this is different. Teach us how to desire. Teach us how to desire. Teach us what you desire, the Father's purpose, what you are desiring. Of course, it's in the form of prayer, but it was a dynamic, hallelujah, desire that Jesus had. It's not just saying, oh, well, I hope, you know, let you just help me and ding, ding to the heavenly butler, do this Jesus and do that Jesus. But it was a desire, praise God. Father, I desire your will. I desire you. Hallelujah. I desire your function for my mother, my brethren. I desire your purposes among the disciples. They knew. And then he began to say that tremendous, what we call the Lord's Prayer. But it is a outstanding explanation of desire. So now this stenagmus means that the Holy Ghost now releases the desire of the Father, and we don't know how to pray as we ought, but when the Spirit of God prays through us. Now you might interpret groanings as, or some type of other type of guttural sound, but the Spirit of God maketh intercession for us. The Holy Ghost, an intellect. He is an intellect. Very precious. And the Holy Spirit prays through us. The stenagmus. And a brother from Athens, Greece, told me he pronounced it a little different than my Oki dialect. And he said, the stenagmus means that if the heart of God could speak, this is what it would say. So when you're talking in tongues, you're talking the heart of God according to the stenagmus. You are speaking out. And there's this new phase of thinking, well, your tongue should change now. We have a different tongue now that's a modern tongue. You received the tongue when you were in the 40s. Some people can tell what the language you're talking in. Okay, you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Goes in the 40s. I could care less, you know. I don't know. I mean, that's a new phrase I heard recently, and I haven't caught up with it yet. And so, many of the followers are speaking in tongues like certain people from Tulsa and others. It's just a little different. Oh, well. Now, I guess that's fine, you know. But the thing of it is, don't feel bad at somebody yet. There was a lady that was filled with the Holy Spirit in Bible school. A young lady, and she had a missionary call upon her. And the other students were listening, and it wasn't a heavenly language. She was just repeating something over and over, and they listened. It was runny, 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 runny. I said, well, you know, surely the Holy Spirit wants to give you more. Let's really pray you get more. And they prayed and prayed, and she said, yes. And they made her feel like she had lacked of receiving. And so she bore that in through her educational processes at Bible school. And so then the brethren sent her to Nigeria, I believe it is. It's a true story. She went over on the boat, and when she got off the boat, an elderly gentleman walks up to her, a Nigerian, a black man. He said, have you come to teach us the Bible? She said, well, yes. How did you know? Well, the Lord told me to come down to the docks where we have prayed many, many months for someone to come and teach us the Bible. And he smiled and he said, my name is Ronde. And she smiled and said, Ronde, Ronde. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. And I'm sure there's a... Now, the tongues, of course, change within the life of a believer. In many intercessory times, I'll be speaking in tongues.
and the Spanish dialect will come forth possibly, Oriental then, and an African type of a chant. I believe I'll be praying around the world in intercessory prayer. So we're not hung up on what you receive, you know. Stammering lip and another tongue speaks to this people. Not just tongues, but a stammering lip. But it's a progressiveness. The nagmas, the groanings. The only other place in the New Testament this word is found is in the life of the sermon that cost a man his life. And that's why I appropriately said in the life of Stephen. His sermon was his life. And there's going to be a day that many of us will preach our lives. Not just some thoughts we have concocted. It's going to be the life. Hallelujah. Not maybe our life, but the life of Jesus. And so in Acts 7, Stephen uses this term very beautifully, stenagmus, and he is speaking to the rulers. He tells about Moses in verse 29. This was a stranger. He was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. He was 40 years of age. And there expired to him, the 40 years were expired. There appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. I'm reading from verse 30 of Acts 7. Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. There is a revamping here, a reason not only for holy ground, but the tongue and feet mean the same in Scripture, that the shoes come off. And so there is a reorientation of God in the individual. It's a sign of the reorientation of God to speak forth from the individual. So verse 34, I'd like to have you underline. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. And I have heard their stenagmus. They're groaning, and I'm come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This is just an interesting Bible point, that the stenagmus, the same word that the Spirit travails through us to bring us into the manifestation of God's anointing and His heirship, was related to the groanings of Egypt. Stenagmus. They groaned for deliverance. And the Spirit of God was upon them to bring that to pass. Psalms 81. I'll just hand this out. Psalms 81. Verse 4. Here is a man that God calls forth. And he says in Psalms 81, he is speaking of praise here. Judson Cornwall does beautifully in this portion of Scripture. Sing aloud unto God, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, and the pleasant harp with the psaltery. The God of Jacob means that in this area of Jacob is the supplanter. Jacob is a conniver. And what this means is Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, the Prince of Peace. And so the God of Jacob that transformed him is the one that says, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. In other words, unto the Lord that is able to transform you from using gimmicks and all types of conniving and supplanting and lies and false pretense, come out of that through praise and come into the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah.
blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed and on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. Verse 5 is where I want to equate now the groanings now of Egypt and the groanings, the synagmas of the Spirit. This is ordained, please underline that, this is ordained in Joseph. Circle the word Joseph. For a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt. Now this is the instruction here that Asaph wrote on the anointing of the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost told Asaph now, I want you to send forth a great banner of praise, a statute forever. It's a statute for Israel and also for all of God's people. It's ordained. That means it is settled and limited for this purpose, a testimony. And Joseph, when the word of the Lord tried him till his word came, it's all involved here in the term Joseph, and he went out through the land of Egypt, and then Joseph speaks, and please put down Joseph speaking, where I heard a language that I understood not. That's Joseph speaking there. Verse 6 says, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. And from verse 6, I removed his shoulder from the burden. Is the Messiah Jesus speaking? The Lord. The Shapha? Shapha? I removed. In other words, Joseph is saying, I went throughout the land of Egypt. I heard a language that I understood not. The praise and the statutes of the Lord that is the heritage of the saints. And Joseph said, when you leave this place, you don't want to know why I know you're leaving? Because I heard it through the groanings of Egypt. I heard a language I understood not. He wouldn't have said that. Scripture wouldn't have given that. Joseph was a well-versed man. It wasn't just another earthly language, but Joseph heard it so that it follows through the context of the miracle of the groanings in Egypt. Then Jesus speaks, the Messiah, and he says, I removed his shoulder from the burden. Now he's speaking of the body of Christ, the language that Joseph heard. Now he says, I removed their burden from their shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. And the word pots there is the word dud in the Hebrew. And the word dud means pot or basket. My margin says it refers to the baskets or pots used in brick making. Please put down by the word pots, brick making. And that's what proves of what the Holy Ghost is telling us in Acts 7. And Stephen says there was groanings, the stenagmas, the heart of God crying for deliverance through the people. Joseph heard it and says, when you leave this place, take my bones with you. Hallelujah. Because you're going to leave. I've already heard it. And just like Joseph heard it miraculously when he went through the land, so we are hearing it. And at this conference, you're hearing maybe a language that you understand not. But you're hearing that God will have a people that will be strong and do exploits. You're hearing it, and you're saying, hey, when you guys get ready, don't forget my bones. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There is an anointing and a quickening within you to be part of what God is doing. Amen? We don't understand the full and all the ramifications of it. No, sir. I don't know anybody that is a superstar in the end time move right now. God has caused a vacuum to be within His people that all of us have not gone this way before, so we can be led of the Holy Ghost and we don't get tripped up into another group. The Lord's been grouped to pieces. He got so mad at Joshua,
He said, pull your shoes off and hush. Joshua went up to him and said, are you with them or with us? What group are you with? And the captain of the host of the Lord with his sword drawn said, would you hush and fall on your face before God? I'm not with any group. I'm trying to lead this bunch into the Holy Land. And you're worrying about what group I'm with. Jesus has got his sword drawn and here we're trying to figure out. Should we be submitted? Should we be the faith group? Should we join this other group? Or the disciples? And sometimes you just feel like, well, you know what group you're to be with? Outside the camp. With him. I'm sure there's, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We can worship as the Lord leads. We can be, but it means your allegiance to is him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Therefore then, the anointing of the Lord, the stenagmus of God, the groanings of the Lord, this is the bringing forth, the manifestation, the gifts of the Spirit are the heart of God. And that's the potential, the highest potential of praying is as we ought, praying in the Holy Ghost. My wife said to the Lord, after about 10 years of being in the ministry, she said, Lord, and now and then she might have given a message in tongues, but not often, and not in any type of quenching, but she just, as a framework, maybe in those days there wasn't too many even manifesting, and through Dick Mills, I had been released, and I would give an interpretation, but my wife said, well, Lord, I'd like the gift of interpretation. And she was praying one day in this manner, and oh, the Lord's presence was so real. So Jesus showed her 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13, and he said, I want you to look at that. And she read it, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. And the Lord said, you know, that's not if you want to, or pray, or, you know, petition. That's a command. That word prayer, it means desire. Go onward. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And the Lord said, that's a command. You go on and interpret. You've been speaking unknown tongues. You could have been interpreting a long time for this. It's not something you pray for and then I give you the gift. You move in it. And when she told me that, the Spirit of God spoke to me immediately. And the Holy Ghost, and I believe the Lord Jesus, spoke to my spirit and said, son, I want you to have release classes. First time I heard of release classes. All over the world. To release my people and my leaders. First of all, your ministry will be to leadership. And that's happened. And is happening. So what the Lord is saying here, he's saying, now, he gave me the formula in this verse. He said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, let him desire to interpret. A command. He desires to interpret. He said, don't desire and sit down. But he goes on to interpretation. Now, that is the order here. If you interpret, then, desire to move in prophecy. If you prophesy, then desire to move in words of knowledge. The potential, the orange, is in you. The fruit of the Spirit is in you. Stir up the gift means stir up the Holy Ghost. Any gift that meets the need is at your disposal. And so, when you desire prophecy, then move, or move in prophecy, then move on in the word of knowledge. Keep going. A lot of us have gotten hung up in the first door of tongues and interruptions. I mean, interpretation. And on Sunday morning, there's just, there's just two or three of us can get into that door. But down through the years in most Pentecostal churches, it'll settle on just one or two. And if they don't get to do their thing, you haven't had a good meeting. And I say, hush up. Shut your mouth and move on into other gifts of the Spirit. Not that you're quenching, but you're allowing others, because as Moses desired, would to God that all of God's people prophesy. So it is with the release of the gifts of the Spirit. That you will be released. And you are released. Hallelujah. Because what the Lord is saying to His people, it's already there. Just let it loose. Just cooperate with the Spirit. Holy Ghost will move upon you and you'll speak it out.
Praise God. And that's the release. And so those that move in tongues or message in the Spirit, try to discipline yourselves. Those that interpret, discipline yourselves and ask God, now Lord, and there's many times the anointing is in a place so that several of us could prophesy and it would be in order. I don't mean same time, but the anointing is of such a general, it's not that, oh, just one, but, and many of us hold back. Why? Because we want others to be released. Are we quenching? No, we're not quenching the Spirit. We're saying, Lord, we desire, I want to go on from interpretation and prophecy into words of knowledge and discerning or other anointings and wisdom and healing and so forth. I want to go on into these areas, although from time to time I will be used in those relaxing dimensions. But Lord, as I desire to go on, loose somebody else today. Hallelujah. Let somebody else know the thrill of saying, thus saith the Lord, like I found it. And that's why we have some very light, crusty, uneducated gifts of the Spirit, is because we have not desired the maturity to come forth. And just a casual type of interpretation has come forth and jumped the gun in many cases. Some of you get so thrilled, or maybe they will fight their battles that they're having at home through the release of the gift. And it's frenzied and it's very yelling and it's very appalling to the Spirit. You can hardly understand what they're saying. It's because we have not groomed the body to receive and release the comfortable gift of the Holy Ghost that everybody can hear and praise God with it. And then the body will be strengthened. That's why we discern the body. That is our purpose. Not that we're holy, but it's a release. I want to go on into, I know the areas of all the gifts of the Spirit are in the believer. Now I want to be relaxed in those positions and cultivate that still small voice of the Spirit, the quickening of the Spirit, and therefore you're released. Now, the release this afternoon, and in fact, Mary Ann, my wife, the next night at the Lutheran home, she was released with five other Lutherans, charismatic Lutherans. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all interpreted in my first release class. So what we are to do now is to, first of all, speak in the Spirit. And as you pray in the Holy Ghost, the stenagmus of God comes forth, then you don't need a message in tongues at this particular release class. Because when you speak in the Spirit, everybody's speaking what the Lord's burden is from the throne of grace. And then, one right after the other, begin to prophesy and interpret what is the Lord saying to His people to edify them. Release it. You might not have the picture. Maybe sometime you'll have a little unction of what, but maybe there's a scripture involved. Begin to release it. O my people, humble thyself and praise the name of the Lord, and thou shalt know His glory. Just begin to speak. I mean, it just seems like it's here in my being, and you can just speak it out. The desire of the Father to edify, to encourage. And when your release comes, then the anointing of the Spirit begins to train in the maturity of the Word. And when anybody interprets and they haven't been in the Bible or in their daily devotions in the Word of God, you can tell it. So keep yourself in the Word of God, for that releases you and gives you ammunition to come forth with phrases of the Word that are anointed and yet everybody is ministered to. Hallelujah. So don't just relax upon or relax your study of the Word and then emphasize the gifts. No, there's a balance. Hallelujah. Sit up in your chairs, put both feet on the floor. Try to take everything out of your lap, please, in your hands. And let's release the anointing of the Lord. First of all, by the authority of the Word, we bring our minds under subjection to the Holy Ghost. Amen. All other activity, He said, did not give us a stone, so we're set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just put your hands in an open position to receive.
speak in tongues briefly. Now, Father, we bring our minds under subjection to the Holy Ghost. We command in Jesus' name, there'll be liberty, and all satanic activity is bound and caused to flee. We thank you for the liberty and the encouragement of thy word that says, Lord, you've not given us a stone, but you will give the Holy Ghost to them that ask you. That doesn't just mean tongues, that means the Holy Ghost of every dimension of the Spirit. We receive it in Jesus' name. We know we have you, Lord, in our hearts, so we know that every gift is manifested within us. So, Lord, we ask for that unction to release it. We cooperate with you. Now, let's all speak in the Spirit. Speak the message of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right? Now, as you have spoken the will of God in the earth, now begin to speak it in your understanding language, one right after the other. Let God speak through you what he's saying to his people in this hour.
The spirit of interpretation moved upon many in the audience, and then Chuck continued.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, look up here now. There's just some guidelines. We don't never want to put, or you can't put, the Spirit of God in a box and say, well, now this will happen when that happens and everything. You know, Holy Ghost will sort of double-cross you every time. But there are guidelines. In other words, we have guidelines. Be brief. Be positive. There is a tendency to be very judgmental when you begin because we feel what from the old seer anointing, the prophet should lash out at everything. And so, in the release of the gifts of the Spirit, until there is that which, as Paul said, let us know them that minister among us. What does that mean? The life has been proven by their association in the body. There are those that have been proven with their association. Their families are intact, other things that have accompanied the anointings of the Lord. Know them that minister among us. And then their levels are predictive. Authority that we can relax in. But as far as the edification, be brief, be positive, to edify. You can say things. Paul said to Timothy, he says, now Timothy, I want to put you in remembrance to stir up the gift. How beautiful. Amen. Some of us would have said, bless God, shape up or ship out. Everybody's half backslid except Uncle John and us four no more. You know, and this is the type of prophecies that really could have been said with a little more wisdom. Not to sugarcoat, but there is a desire that to be spiritually mature, you've got to condemn everybody. It's even in our preaching. Bless God, nobody has faith but me. In our group, you know, I mean, there's that type of preaching today. But no, the Lord wants his people to be edified. Now, use that as guidelines. Don't allow yourself to bring forth. If there is, that judgment is coming. This was expressed here beautifully. All right, the Lord thy God, in wrath, will remember mercy. There's different ways that you can read from the Word of God. It's the intent of the heart that's very important. Some people lash out more in prophecy, and dark days are coming, and you've allowed this. And one meeting where a lady was in charge, and a beautiful person in New Mexico, but there was a little group from another area that was in the disciple groups, and they don't like women teachers. And so they came, and we had a release class, and boy, they were boiling back then. Anyway, when it came out, it was very good, you know, perhaps. And right at the end, before I could interrupt them, you know, you have allowed Jezebel to be in your midst. But see, the spirit wasn't right. Now see, we could say that. And see, be aware that the enemy would sow seeds on Jezebel or something like that. But no, the word will set you free. See, bring out the positive. Don't allow yourself to use little spiritual
whims and pet peeves to get after God's people. Or you'll suffer. Amen. I didn't mean to say that one, but it won't work. You won't grow.
That's what I mean by suffer. I don't want to put it in. We've got enough on us.
But I mean, you won't grow. Yeah, but if you use prophecy, you should bless God. Just go down the middle of it.
You can use the Word of God very beautifully. Everybody's aware of their faults and failures. But Jesus, praise God, will edify His people. We need something, not just sugar-coating. That's not what we're talking about. But the Spirit of God will give us words to say that will bring us out and encourage us. And you will be an overcomer. The anointing of the quickening of releasing the gifts of the Spirit is wonderful. Shall we stand? Our desires to edify the body that Jesus desires within us. It's the office of the Holy Spirit. And another thing is, when prophecy is given, one brother told me, he says, you know, if you ever miss it, Chuck, he says, you've had it. What do you mean? He meant, before I came to his large church in Portland, that while I prophesied over people, if he felt or someone else felt it wasn't right, then they would mark me off, or you, or anybody else. Now, is that the right elevation from God's Word? No. It says, let the other discern or judge. The word judge is used. What's that mean? The other one that moves in like anointing and like prophetic gift. You're not to judge in an area that you've never been released in. Because when you walk in the same shoes and walk circumspectly in the same anointing, you're a little more understanding. Amen. Now, there's certain types of quickenings of the Spirit that something doesn't ring true, and that's fine. But as far as a judgmental thing, to grab that individual by the nape of the neck and straighten them out, it must be when you're flowing in that dimension. And you know exactly the pressures of the hour. Amen. These are guidelines. And it's very good. Now, what was the answer to this? See, to this individual, see, when you're moving in the gifts of the Spirit, it just so happened, the first couple I called out was his daughter and son-in-law. And the Lord read them like a book. And God vindicates His Word. But even if there are more ramifications, you flow in the anointing of God, because the enemy will use every tactic to discourage you. You take this authority and say, now, Lord, I just lift it up to you. A lady said a while back, 2 years later, the word of the Lord was fulfilled. And then after you're used of God to prophesy, then when you're alone with Jesus, relate that prophecy, whether you remember it or not. Say, Father, bring that to pass, because see, it doesn't depend on the gift flowing through you then. It depends on your prayer life with Him. And you give the gift back to God by praying about it. And that keeps you balanced and out of condemnation. Because when you're used of the Lord, the enemy always wants to condemn you and say, well, you just did it wrong or whatever. But be encouraged, and when God uses you, as this afternoon, praise the Lord. Then say, Father, bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for thy wonderful edifying the Holy Ghost has given, that we would be edified, that we would be strengthened, that the glory of God would come forth in the body and make the body strong. We thank you for the release of the synagmas, the groanings in the Spirit, that will loose and bring forth the heritage of the sons of the living God. We loose that in Jesus' name. We thank you for it.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.